18th of December 2015. Alex Collier giving a webinar over Google. Apologies for the many and weird interruptions. Enjoy the webinar.
Good afternoon, Alex. Happy December. Do you want to get going?
Hi, JP. How are you?
I'll okay. Be fine.
Hi, everybody.
On you go.
I'm so sorry we're late. We had some, obviously, technical issues in the Highlands of Scotland. Before we start the webinar, I just want to say I'm in my apartment. I want to thank everybody for helping. During the move, someone at the motel gave me a couch, my only piece of furniture, and I wrenched my back, taking it up two flights of stairs. So I have been down for 2 weeks. In fact, I even popped a rib, which I found out about yesterday.
Ouch.
From a chiropractor. So I apologize. In the next 72 hours, I will be getting back to all of you. As of this morning, I had 3,092 emails.
Oh,
it's gonna take me a little while. Hopefully most of it is just junk. But there's a lot to talk about, and I'm sorry we're late. Again, so let's just get going here. Gosh.
Where are you going to start?
Intervention is occurring on multiple levels, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to do some history today, as well as current stat. Now, there have been some questions that have come through James regarding Planet X and current updates. We're going to get to that, okay? We're going to get to that. But what I do want to share with you is one of the more important things, and that is in 161 BC, when the Archons arrived, they created an electronic fence around the planet that effectively blocked cosmic knowledge. And many oracles on the planet used that intelligence, that information, in order to share with their people, to provide wisdom to kings, to queens, to diplomats, barons, lords, leaders of communities, of nations, etc., military people. That pretty much began to shut down and was in fact shut down. And that was done by the Archons. I want you to know that sometime in the last 3 weeks, and I don't have an exact date or time, that fence is down. It is completely gone. It is down. And what's happening is that people are beginning to remember now not only who they are, but what their original intent was, and they're beginning to get information about what's happening. Now, what's interesting is that this is happening at the higher levels. There are many spiritual gurus, I'm sure, who were already tapping into the fence dropping as it was, in fact, dropping, and holes were being burned into it. And we've talked about this in previous webinars. Well, now the fence is down, and people are beginning to remember, especially on the higher levels. And this is causing a great deal of trouble, hoorah, for the powers that be. Now, today, in discussing the powers that be, I am referring to the Orion Consortium, the Reptilian Consortium, the Archon Consortium, and those humans who totally sold out to these consortiums, okay? That's who I'm referring to. So I can just say powers that be, and you know who I'm referring to. So that fence is down. Now, this is important for two reasons. One, it's imperative to begin to create the space, the time, the domain of knowing, to be able to get this information that is coming into Earth, because it is coming from benevolent sources that are out there on starships, motherships, etc. It is coming from other planetary systems who are aware of our consciousness, of our situation here on the planet. It is also imperative to make space for it, because it's also coming from multiple dimensions above us, higher fourth, fifth, and from what I understand, even lower sixth density, that are trying to help humanity, because we're way behind the eight ball as far as time. We're the caboose as far as the other civilizations that have been freed. We're at the tail here, okay? So the fence of forgetfulness is over. That's done. So it's now time to try to, well, in other words, we are all free to think another way now, and to expand ourselves out beyond the boundaries of Earth, and, you know, send our intentions out. Well, it's now getting out, okay? That information from us is now getting out. Our desires, our intents, and the information that's coming in is also coming in. So we can now allow it. We can be more acceptant of it. We can begin to trust and test it with more accuracy now. And this is a remarkable thing. This is a really, really good thing. And part of the consequence of this is that the regressive command and control power structure on Earth is eroding quite fast, because their middle management and upper tier management structures are beginning to erode, because these people, these beings, who whatever they are, they now understand what's really been going on. And it didn't take long. I mean, they probably had their suspicions, but it wasn't confirmed until they started getting this information from off-world. And this is where they're having their issues, the powers that be. And this has to happen. This is extremely important, because the powers that be, they simply refuse to have a change of heart, which is actually pretty sad. Because, I mean, they could be great teachers for us. I mean, they already have in some levels. I mean, you know, there's the old saying that good people bring joy and happiness and bad people bring experience. You know, the knowledge that they could share with us about their structure, so that we and other evolving civilizations don't have to go there, don't get trapped in these systems of slavery, of becoming a natural resource for any race, would be invaluable to evolving races. And no doubt that as we continue to expand beyond our planet and our solar system, we will be meeting evolving races, and we could share this knowledge with them, as opposed to, you know, suppressing them for the favors of the powers that be, which I know has happened. So we talked about on the last webinar about how the powers that be were trying to create a very, very low energy, a negative field of religious war. And specifically, they were trying to create the energy of the Middle Ages, where you had Jews and Christians fighting Muslims, and Muslims fighting everybody, and Christians fighting everybody, and you know, including those who weren't Muslim, but you know, were Wiccan or free thought, Druid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's their agenda, and you're seeing two realities interweaving with each other, and you're going to see extremes. Something horrible will happen, and then something very positive will happen. This will go on until humanity chooses which reality it wants. Okay, now, no one else is in charge here. Okay, the fence is down. Humanity is going to have to choose what it is it doesn't want and what it is that it does want. And it is our intent, it is humanity's intent, its consciousness, its focus, that is going to choose which of these realities is going to win. All right? And that involves self-empowerment. Okay, that involves genuine introspection. Because the pace of change is going to be insane. Things are going to be moving so fast and so quickly that in many respects it's going to take people's breath away. Now that the fence is down, a very genuine perspective on religions is going to come to the forefront. And this really, really needs to happen for humanity's sake. Because as much as a positive influence that some religions have had on humanity, according to the A's and other benevolent extraterrestrial groups, we should have left the religions behind 400 years ago or more. Okay, what needs to happen now is spiritual reawakening, where you reclaim your place in the universe, where you reclaim your essence. It is no longer okay. It is no longer appropriate for a government, for a church, for any alien group to tell you what you think about who you are. Okay? It is imperative that you decide for you who you are, where your strength is, and what it is you want to be. It is never too late to become who you might have wanted to be. Never too late. And now the opportunity is there. The universe, because the fence is down, the universe is supporting every one of you individually to take that next step, to become empowered. It's just a question of remembering. Okay? You don't have to think anymore like you have been. Okay, the old control structures and command structures, they are falling apart. Okay, it is now time to step into the wind. And what I mean by that is that the movement of intent, the movement of energy, of spiritual frequency is coming in so fast to the planet that you need to step into it, and we need to go into the flow of it. And I don't mean necessarily that you have to jump in head first. You know, take steps to move into the frequency, test it, see how it feels, see where it takes you, but you simply will not be able to ignore it anymore because it's here and it's coming fast. All right. Like I said earlier, the pace of change is going to be remarkable. And many of you already know this, you've already sensed it, but you know, I am hoping that new people who are awakening, will get a piece of this information through multiple sources. It doesn't matter who it comes through, okay, that you get this information and that you know what the change is about and that you learn to breathe and step into self-empowerment, because this is what's happening now. the new humanity. Has to evolve. It has to step into itself, its power. Because you see, that's the piece that's missing here with the benevolence coming in and trying to, and shutting down all the regressive systems that have enslaved us on Earth. That's what's happening now. But we have to rise to the occasion. And I've mentioned this in several of the webinars. We have to step up our game and step into our power now, okay? Because they're not going to come in and rule us. No, no, no. That is not what happens here, okay? What happens is we step into our power and we begin to create with our intent what it is that we want, the reality that we want, how we want to raise our children, how we want our social structures to work. Ladies and gentlemen, none of us are newbies here. Okay, we all have incredible experiences through past lives in different civilizations, off-world and on-world. We have a knowledge of what works and what doesn't. We truly do. You have to trust that. You have to trust that you know, that you have the knowledge, that you absolutely have the wisdom to make this work. You do. And then just step into that spiritual flow, that flow of cosmic knowledge that is coming, that is bombarding the planet as we speak. Just step into that flow and it will take you where you're supposed to go. You had an intention before you came into this life. You have an agenda when you came into this life. It is not to be screwed over. No one would agree to that. Okay, you have to step into your power now. I can't stress this enough. Okay, the one of the greatest tools that the regressive side used, the dark side used, was to separate us from each other, separate us from nature, separate us from humanity, separate us through religions, separate us through wars, separate us through languages. Okay, separation. And so everything wouldn't work, okay? And the reason it worked for them is because they think holographically. They knew where to put pieces so that it would connect the threads. But at the same time, in the connection of those threads, it gave them control. But humanity is just this disjointed, dysfunctional sibyl of a civilization, for lack of a better word. And that's done. That is coming apart as we speak. Okay? Their structure, their ability to keep everyone in a fishbowl is over. And very, very soon, incredible archaeological things that have been uncovered in the last 25 to 35 years, or that have been suppressed for the last 25, 35 years, that have come to light, will be coming out. This next year is going to be phenomenal. The information that we're all going to be getting just from the Earth herself. Now, there are going to be some Earth changes. And I've asked Mornay about this, and in retrospect, he said, look, the Earth needs to shake off the energy of war, of anger, of fury, of depression, all the emotions that we have been carrying inside each one of us. She has to shake off. And she's going to, okay? She's been holding on to it and holding on to it. And now she feels that it's at a point where she can begin to really release this energy, okay? Because energy that she needs is now coming through to her. Energy that we need is now coming through to us. So we are now moving, beginning to get in sync here, okay? Humanity and the Earth, truly in sync. There isn't going to be any more separation. We're going to begin to feel a real sense of harmony with her and she with us. So, again, we have to go with the flow, all right? It is imperative that we go with the flow here. Now, God, I have all these notes, and I don't know that there is an exact way to share all this. In the last webinar, I shared with you things that the ACE had said about being the observer. I'm being asked to stress that to you, to be the observer one more time, or not one more time. I'm sharing it with you one more time, to be the observer, to step out and not get caught in all the drama, because most of the drama is being instigated. Okay, it's those two realities, positive and light. Which one do we want? Do we want the fear? Or do we want the positive?
Somebody kindly in the audience, and the audience is rejoining us as we speak, was talking about the earth needs to release the energies of hate and anger and fury that is inside each one of us, and also now frustration. We will be in sync with the earth, and then we'll be in harmony. So that's where you were when you
dropped. Oy vey. Okay. They're obviously very upset with us. This is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, and with or without our help. But I can tell you that, you know, 2/3 of the galaxy is rooting for us. They really, really are, because we have a very significant role to play. And we're just, and I've said this over and over and over again for years, we are remarkable beings. We truly are. Now, because the fence is down, you will be able to tap more into your higher dimensional selves. And this is where I was going before they dropped JP and cut him off, or terminated the webinar, which is literally what happened. So you will be able to access more and more personal data, more personal information, more personal experience, more of your own DNA wisdom from yourselves through this process now, because the fence is down. Now, I want to share a scenario with you, and I've been asked to share this because I'm planting the seed in your consciousness. At a time in the near future when it is obvious that the regressives and the powers that be have lost control and humanity has truly been freed and we are able to stand on our own and be responsible for ourselves without being coerced to accept some higher authority. Benevolent groups will come down from different races, and they will begin, let me see, I have the exact words here. They will begin a briefing of Earth's true history. Using technology, they will absolutely show us the past. They will show us who in the past did what, and they will work in concert with humans from Earth to go inside the planet and remove the last remnants of nests and hives of regressive ETs. But before anybody begins this movement, we will all be brought up to speed. We will all be on the same page as to what Earth's true history is, who we truly are, what our ancestry is, our different races, who we're connected to, and we will be shown spiritually and societally where we were supposed to be. We will show where we are now and where we should have been, and we will be given the paths and the information and the knowledge and, to a degree, some technology to get us to that place as soon as possible. We won't be given all technology because we are going to have to show steps of responsibility before they give us some technology. They don't want any regressions, per se, okay? Because we are going to go through periods of real intense anger and frustration at what has happened to our race, okay? And how the wool has been pulled over our eyes. But these are all necessary. These all of these moments, these episodes, give us an incredible experience, an experience that few civilizations in our galaxy will have, could have, or would even imagine having. Okay? And I am assured at some point that we will be moving to a place where not only the experience, but the wisdom that we have garnered and gained from these experiences will move us into a place where we will be asked to mentor other civilizations. And this is not far off, ladies and gentlemen. I am not talking 1,000 years or even 500 years into the future. I am talking within hundreds of years, where we as a race will be asked to mentor other civilizations. They will ask us to do that, okay? So as you can probably garner from this, we have a lot of movement, and catching up to do. But this movement, this cleansing of the earth, of the remnants of these regressive groups that have been here and hiding in the shadows, this will be done in concert with other benevolent groups. They will be working with our military, our special forces, our geologists, our medics, to go into the earth. This will be a joint venture, and to remove this negative field from the planet once and for all. And there will come a point where they all have this choice now to leave on their own. There will come a point where that window is going to close. And when that window is closed, then the next steps have to be taken. Okay? And it will be. Once we are all brought up to speed as to what has really been going on Earth, who has been behind it, I don't think there'll be anyone who won't want to volunteer to help fix, to remedy this negative influence that has plagued our race for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. That's going to happen. And I'm assuming that we're still on. It says live. I don't have a picture. So maybe it's just voice. I apologize, but these things always happen, you know, when we start talking about certain things. It's really quite remarkable that these things happen. Now, current stat, we have ISIS wanting to assassinate the Pope to destroy Rome. They're talking about using biological weapons all through Europe. And, of course, we have the Pope saying, well, I won't wear a bulletproof vest. You know, we have all this drama, all of these characters on the stage are positioning themselves for the show of the millennium. Okay? Please be the observer. Know that almost all of this is being orchestrated to get your intent, your attention, your focus on the negative field. They want you to feed the negative field because that empowers them. Okay, this is where they draw their strength, and is through fear. We have to starve these bastards out of here. Okay, and now is the time to do it. There's just, it's got to end, and it ends with us. We just no longer will feed the negative field. Okay, if you step back and become the observer, you can choose where to put your attention. And ladies and gentlemen, the attention needs to be on what you want, not on what you don't want. We can't feed that beast anymore. You know, the story of the two wolves, okay? You don't want to feed the negative wolf. You want to feed the positive wolf, okay? The one that's going to benefit you, benefit your family, benefit humanity. It is time to empower yourself to just do this. Current stat. There have been some things about Planet X, other planetary bodies. There are many news sources talking about, well, we've uncovered this new planetary body and that one, and there's one just outside our solar system. Well, I'm not talking about the one inside our solar system as much either. Okay? I'm not giving you dates, but if there was no intervention, now, the last time this came through, it was on the other side of the sun from where we were. This time, it's going to be on the same side of the sun as we are. And if there was no intervention, this is the probable scenario. Because people want to know. So, okay. I will tell you what the probable scenario would be if there was no intervention. Okay. It would cross over. We would do at least an 83 to a 96 degree rotation of the planet. As it passed at its closest point, it would grab one of our poles, probably the north, and it would drag us a little bit out of orbit, causing the climate and the surface to be cooler. At which stage our scientists would try to create another sun, which would be an ultimate disaster. Okay, but that isn't going to happen. None of those scenarios are going to happen. We will probably have some earth shaking and some shuddering, but there's going to be intervention. They intend to create a field, a gravitational field between us and this planetary body, this dwarf star, as it passes over us. Okay, we will be going through the tail of this comet, however, for over 5 years. There will be periods where we will be moving. The Earth's rotation will take us through the debris field. This is something to be concerned about. And I know that assets are in place, those that belong to benevolent extraterrestrials and those that belong to Earth or are Earth-based or moon-based that are in preparation to help plow the road, to remove the debris as we pass through it, okay? Because they know they're way ahead of us. Humanity on the surface is what's catching up now. So, but, you know, again, this is not to create a negative field. We are all going to be on the surface. We are going to see this event, okay? It's going to be spectacular. It's going to bring incredible wonder. We are going to see brothers and sisters we didn't know we had stepping up, stepping in, running interference for us, watching our back, giving us an opportunity to thrive. None of this should be lost on any of you, okay? None of this should be lost on any of you. How important this is, not only for humanity, but for you to understand and to know that, hey, we're not alone. And not only are we not alone, God, we are loved, okay? We are actually loved. Even though we don't know them, they know us. And they know the struggle we've been through. It is imperative that you acknowledge this. And now that the fence is down, you begin to tap into the knowledge, the love that is being sent to humanity to heal, okay? And the earth as well. When all of this passes and the command and control structure is dropped, and the separation, the artificial and separation structures that have been created to disempower humanity have fallen apart, we will be moving back into the laws of nature and the laws of spirit. Okay, and they are so interconnected and so aligned that it'll be difficult to know one from the other. But that is what's happening. Okay. I'm so excited. If I wasn't in so much pain at the moment, I would be just so excited about this opportunity that is just in front of us. Okay. But this is what's going to be happening. Many of you, I'm very uncomfortable, and I have been for a very long time using the word channel. Okay. Many of you oracles and new people who are now beginning to have experiences, let's just say in the last 3 to 4 years, there'll be more and more people, old and a lot of young. And the reason the young will be focused is because their energy is so high and, for the most part, sort of erratic because they don't have a lot of experiences with this. But there's going to be a lot of mentoring of their spiritual energy to focus it more, to focus their intent, and to get them to clarify their intent so that this young energy, this new energy, this frequency that they have that is erratic at this point, is going to be used to create and to focus the planet to move in leaps and bounds to a higher consciousness very, very quickly. Okay, these new kids, they have the energy. They don't have the experience, but they have the energy. Don't be surprised here when you see major news media is going bankrupt. Don't be surprised where video game companies start to go bankrupt because nobody is supporting these things anymore. Because life is going to become our reality, okay? And let me explain what I mean by that. Everyone's going to be here present in real time more and more of the time. We're not going to be focusing on distractions or the things that have distracted us. And this is imperative of the young kids. They're going to focus on them because, you know, they're going to be inheriting the transition that we help guide them through, us vintage folks. Okay, using our experience and our wisdom, we're going to be helping to guide them through this transition, you know, as we go through it. And we're going to be able to calm them down and say, oh, listen, this is what you have to do. This is where you need to put your energy and your focus. You know, keep focusing on the goal. Keep focusing on what it is that you want. We're going to be mentoring in that way, like grandparents, except it's going to be the young people. Many of them are incredibly enlightened already. They will be also assisting and helping. The next 5 years are going to be absolutely remarkable, and that's the window that I've been given for this shift. This incredible shift is the next 5 years. And, you know, the pace of energy, the pace of change, this is why I said it's going to be insane, because we're talking about like 50 years being crammed into a 5-year window of spiritual evolution, of conscious evolution, of totally dumping this old structure of what we thought was reality to create what really is going to be a reality that is going to benefit and nurture everyone from this point on to the future. there is obviously going to be some growing pains. There's obviously going to be learning curves. But, you know, many of us wanted a project to do, and this is it. We've got our project. It's ourselves. Okay? It's ourselves. We are now the new project. And only good can come of this. You know, only good. And, well, let me just say this. When I go through the emails, folks, and the people who have helped me get my own place, I will be contacting you individually, and I want to personally reach out to you and talk with you. So I will be sharing my phone number, because I want to talk to you. I want you to know just how appreciative I am of this opportunity to not be stuck anymore. And what it means to me, my Cancerian birth sign self, to have a home. Oh my God, I so love you guys. So know that it's coming. It's just, wow, so much has happened and so much is going on, okay? But expect that here over the course of the weekend to get an email from me. And you can choose to contact me or not, and to talk with me personally if you want. You know, I just don't want you to think I blew it all off. That isn't not what happened at all. No way is that what happened. So I just want you to know that up front, okay? I absolutely love you guys, and you're the best. You are absolutely the best. And I am so proud of all of you, and I am so proud of us as a race. Guys, we're going to be awesome. We are going to be so awesome. And all the news media and all the effing garbage that they feed us about who they tell us we are, none of it's true. You know, you're going to be amazed at who you guys are, who you are individually. You know, what anybody else says doesn't matter. It just flat doesn't matter. Okay? You're spectacular. You know, begin creating who you always wanted to be. And if you already are that person, make yourself better. Make yourself greater, because that's all there is of you, you know, is what you make of yourself. So let's just, you know, let's just go for it.
Alex.
Okay.
Just want to say, in the chat room, everybody's going, love you, Alex. We love you. And actually, you know what you were saying earlier about how humans don't realize how much we're loved by our star brothers and sisters?
Yes.
You feel that too. Because, you know, in our conversations privately, you've often expressed how you don't feel it somehow, but you are. You are very much loved by many, many people. And, you know, and there's Cosmic Gypsies, I'm crying tears of joy and love you too. And we just hope you all feel better soon with your back issues. They're glad you have your home, that you're loved. So... you know that too. Know that you're loved, Alex.
Thank you, guys. Bless Thank you. You. You're the best. You are absolutely the best.
You're even getting a digital hug from Belgium.
Okay. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I'll do digital hugs.
It's really lovely. You know, we'll hopefully get some stuff sort of piped into you. Now you've got a place. We'll get you some stuff. You know, if there's anybody in Colorado who's got a van that can help, you know, get Alex some stuff.
You know what, JP, there's something else I wanted to share. Please. And this is something that was in some of the older notes. And I was, you know, it was at a time where a lot of things were not going well for me in my life. And it was around that time where Phaseas said to me, the love that you withhold is the pain that you carry lifetime after lifetime. And one of my biggest questions is like, you know, what is this all about down here? And in a very subtle way, Morinne had said that, you know, based on their observations, the lessons of Earth are about lessons in power. It's about how to use power. And the word power can also be substituted for create. We create our thoughts, we create our reality, we create our belief systems, we create the focused intent on how real to make it all. Those are actually all lessons in power. We also use those lessons in how to navigate relationships with ourselves, with family, with loved ones, with friends, with the world, such as a business environment. These are all lessons in power. And what we're supposed to learn is that in a very subtle way, when we have mutual respect, we use power less frequently than we normally would. Whenever we don't feel empowered ourselves, we use power more because we feel that it's necessary to use power to gain control, because we think having control over someone or something will actually fill that void, that non-belief that we have in ourselves, when in fact that isn't what happens at all. We end up abusing power. We end up creating a control and command structure, not only in our personal lives and in our relationships, but it then becomes mirrored in the world. And whether we have fed that intentionally or not, that is in fact what we have, or we did have. And it's only going to be through an awakening of that, that the real lessons of the Earth experience is about power, that we're going to be able to shift our focus away from command and control to empowering ourselves to create what we want. Not what others want, what we want. And there is nothing selfish about that. And I wanted to integrate that, and that's where I was going before they disconnected you the first time. And but that was in my notes, and so I wanted to share that as well, you know, laying on the floor looking up at the ceiling because my back's been hurting. I've had a lot of time to think about old stuff, and I think that's important. I think that's important that, you know, that we all reevaluate what we think is power and what the definition of power is and how we use power. And it's so subtle that most of us aren't even aware of the fact that we are using our personal power every day and in every way. And I think it's, you know, and this goes for me as well, to be more cognizant about how we use our power and what we're using it for and how it affects others. So with that, I'm open to you reading some questions if you want.
All right. So you've covered the topics that you said you were going to discuss.
Yes, and then some.
So,
in the next webinar, I will be going more into higher self consciousness and connecting to that, and tapping into DNA memory. I've been given a sequence of things to talk about in such a way, and that's what the next one's going to be about. It's about higher self-consciousness, connecting to that, reintegrating DNA memory, and that's what we're going to talk about on the next webinar.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Those are the really salient moment.
These are all self-empowering tools, you know, and that's what it's about.
Exactly. So this is like an educational a curriculum that you've been given by the A's?
We're being schooled. Yes, we're being schooled. So we're all back in school. You know, we're getting some schooling. from
I'm not even 70 yet, so I've got a way to go.
Okay, you're just a young sprout.
Just a bean sprout.
There you go.
A human bean. Okay, so talking of age, the first question that we have is actually it bridges what was missing in the last webinar that got cut off, or that got lost in the mix, and that is the subject of timelessness, and the descent from timelessness. So, can we start with that one?
Okay, a great question. That's absolutely a great question.
Yes.
Now, I only know about, I don't fully remember timelessness, but there have been experiences where I have been completely in a space of timelessness. And what I mean by that, where I never once thought about time. I was absolutely 100% in the moment. And those moments are when I was with Visayas and Mornay, or when I'm with Mornay, or when I was on the mothership for those 3 months. There was never, ever any thought whatsoever regarding time. I was literally in the moment. And even in the moment where my body got tired, remember I shared what I would have to take naps, which, you know, of course, was me sleeping because of my biological clock. Even those times, I would push my body until I absolutely had to settle somewhere and just close my eyes and go to sleep. And when I woke up, I was once again focused on what was it that I was doing in the moment. And what I mean by that is we are so conditioned to structure our entire lives around the concept of time, that actually the concept of time is what tells our bodies to age. Now, we think it's because of certain DNA things. That is important. And yes, there is an element of truth to that. But it actually is the conditioning of time, the belief in the conditioning of time, that we have so many days a year, we have so much time to complete this, we have, our lifespans are only this short. I mean, you know, there's commercials and of things, you know, at this certain age, these things happen to you. The medical society tells us that, you know, medical things that these things happen at this age, and you go through these stages of life, and if you're a man, your life expectancy is 71 to 74, and if you're a woman, that's 78 to 86, I think it is. Something to that, and that's what's being drilled into us. Ladies and gentlemen, that is all conditioning. That is conditioning to time, to run ourselves out, to turn ourselves off, okay? To turn ourselves off. It's bullshit, okay? It has all been a conditioned program to get us to turn ourselves off. And this is why, and I am probably not the person to do this, it really should probably be an extraterrestrial, whoever that is, a benevolent one, to teach us about timelessness, because they don't live in time. They don't wear Timexes. They just don't. They flip back and forth through time as my God, as if it's something of joy. And that's how they look at it. They see the experience of living as something of joy, not a hardship, not, I just got to get through one more day, or, you know, another week, another dollar. None of that stuff. They have a completely different perspective of it. And they really should be the ones, but that's what I meant by that. And again, you know, maybe we can all start together thinking about this in that way. Okay.
I hope you can hear this. When you talk about the 12 dimensions, is that as far as it goes? How many dimensions, parallel universes, are there? Or are we talking infinity?
Okay. As far as the 12 dimensions that that I'm aware of, that we all are co-creating together, that's what I'm aware of. It's just the 12. If there's more beyond that, I'm simply not aware of it. And as far as parallel universes, or I don't know how many parallel universes there are, I'm aware of parallel realities that feed off of an original timeline. And there were at one time three, and now there's pretty much just the 1.5, because the other timeline that had the Nazis and all that garbage, that's fully being merged, you know, into our present timeline. So one has been dissolved completely. So we're pretty much, we're 1.5, maybe 1.25 timelines. Because that's all part of the healing process. That's all part of the mechanism of uniting all of our energies together and our frequencies together. Okay?
Last time you said you'd also talk about dreams.
A lot of people are getting information in dreams. A lot of people are traveling in their dreams. And what I mean by that is that they realize that they're in a dream. It's in Technicolor, or more colors than Technicolor. And what you need to realize is that you probably have guides with you. You might want to, when you realize that you're in a dream, ask for your guides to present themselves, or your mentors. Now, it could be a higher self. It could be other beings who are there to assist you in your spiritual evolvement at this point. But many, many people will be getting information in dreams. And what will happen is you will be given, you will live scenarios in your dreams where you're guided in these dreams. And then in real life, somewhere down the road, a week, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, you will begin to have those deja vu moments where, oh, wow. You know, and you may not immediately associate it to the dream state, but that's what's going on. Some of you are moving ahead of your real life self here in dreams. You're projecting yourself into the future. Okay. You are testing your own personal strength. You are testing your ability to create by doing this. And these are agendas and things that you set up in the beginning. Many of you have been doing it all along. Others, this is going to be new to you because the fence has dropped. You're now getting more of your own cosmic self and energy. And you're going to be doing this where you're going to be projecting yourself through the dream state into the future. And as you learn this technique, you can begin to create, guide yourself to what it is that you want by using this technique, by being aware in the dream state to project yourself to where you want and literally living that in the dream and then coming back and physically guiding yourself to that point. If people want more on that, let me know and I'll introduce and we'll do a segment on that in the next webinar as well. It's fascinating. The dream state is just absolutely fascinating. Now remember, when it's color, you're experiencing the true dream. You're physically usually out of your body. If it's black and white, it's purely your subconscious running some stuff. Okay. So, you know, be aware of the two.
All right. That's a, cause this is, you know, how do we know? So, Here's a question. This is from the hugger from Belgium. Do the Andromedans have animals as companions, similar to how we keep human pets, or do animals ever roam free on their ships?
Both. The answer is simultaneous. Animals adopt in their world. I'm not aware, on the motherships, they wouldn't have anything that was feral, something completely wild, that, of course, would be a harm to others. But the animals on their craft, particularly the mother crafts, I can't speak about the home world because I haven't actually been to the home world. The animals are in harmony with not only the nature of the ship, but the harmony of the people. And essentially what happens is that the animals choose to adopt specific beings for a specific period of time. Many times they will integrate with children during the learning circles. Many times if there's an adult who is recuperating from an injury or something that has occurred, whether it's emotional or not, and they are choosing to be out in nature, their nature, the animals will come and keep them comfort for that time and then will move on. It's an amazingly symbiotic relationship from what I've witnessed. And it is not all that different from how cats and dogs integrate or have a relationship with us, you know. Especially cats. You know, cats choose. They do.
Exactly.
Yeah, they choose. Cats choose. So it isn't all that different. Their animals are completely different than ours. They do have male and females, sexes. They do have a type of feline species. I wouldn't say that they have a canine species. I've not seen anything closely resembling that, but they have other things that are just so difficult to describe. They're different. They're really different. But they show affection nonetheless. Okay.
It's very interesting about the whole idea of, like, do they have the equivalent of a dog, which is a very, like a loyal follow, you know, loyal companion, like dogs are. You know, cats are not so close to us. Do they have that kind of thing? But they obviously, we use dogs for hunting, so they don't do hunting, do they?
No. They're fruitarians. But they have this bird-like thing with long gangly legs that, you know, could sort of act like a dog, like a canine, being protective, and it will position itself in front of something that maybe it feels is suspicious or alarming, or an event that's alarming. It will position itself instinctively in front, but there is nothing on earth in any way, shape, or form that even resembles it. And it makes some kind of a squealing sound when it moves into that space. And it's ear piercing. At least it was to me. It was very ear piercing. So, you know, it may act like a canine, but it's not in any way, shape, or form a canine. No.
Wow. Excellent. Thank you. You don't know what it's called, do you?
No.
Of course, because they don't have names, do they?
They have, right, they have symbols, but not all the symbols translate into the English language.
Exactly.
They just don't.
Okay. This is a question from Marlon. I dream a lot with reptilians, dragons, and giant humans. We're always fighting, and sometimes I kill them. Are the Greys training me to fight them when the time comes? Does it have anything to do with the super soldiers and my labs?
I have many of the same dreams. So my response would be, yes, you're probably being trained, or you're remembering what you used to do or what you've done before in the past or in the future. I don't know that it's the Greys. I mean, if that's who's accompanying you, are they Greys? Are they Zeta Reticulans? You know, I don't know. That part's on you. But I have many of the same dreams. Very, very similar. types. And so I'm not surprised. You know, hoorah, you go get them. You go get them.
The Zentaeans, as some...
Zentaeans.
Have defined slavery as anybody who is unable to defend themselves. How do the Zentaeans defend themselves when faced with a hostile entity meaning to do them harm, both if faced with this in person and if faced with this in space from another ship?
You know, that's a great question. And here's what it boils down to. To my knowledge, and from what I have observed and what I've been told, the A's create such a positive field around themselves that that type of energy almost is invisible to them. And to the regressives, their positive energy is so high that it's virtually invisible to them. They virtually almost never move into that arena unless they choose to lower their vibration and move into that arena for a specific reason. Okay?
Thank you.
It's energy. It's all about energy. It's all about frequency. Light, color, and sound is what makes up physicality.
Thank you.
Pretty simple, actually. You know?
Stuart Swerdlow has given some protection techniques. Have the A's given you any visualizations or anything like that to protect yourself with that you could share with everybody?
Actually, I was given one technique whenever I felt that I was alarmed that I should placing my physical self in the center of the sun, our sun, and just remain there until it passes. Because the sun's the highest frequency we have here. It's the generator
of course.
Yeah. It's our generator of dimensions. So place yourself inside the sun.
That's so simple. So beautiful. No need to worry about geometric forms. Okay. From James. In order to step into our power, to recreate our world, to install our divine intention, how more can we, as a joint effort, assist the new humanity to surface?
The most important thing is just to acknowledge your power. It all starts with that. It all starts with acknowledging the fact that you have power. Okay? That you've always had power. And then once you come into that realization, forgive yourself for ever thinking you did. And just move beyond it. Just move through it, let it go, and the rest will come. Okay? It's just acknowledging the fact that you have power, that you are power. That's the biggest lesson right there. You know, no more powerlessness. It just simply doesn't exist. It simply doesn't exist. It's a fallacy. It's something they want. The powers that be want us to believe and to buy into, because that gives them control over us.
Yeah, I know there's a whole thing. You think you're above the law and all of these things. And people, it's that thing that you were talking about last week, the crabs. They was dragged the other crabs back into the pot.
Sure, because everybody believes you don't have any power, so why would they let him get away? Well, he's there to show you the way, to show you you can get out of the bucket. You can get out of the hamster wheel. You can get out of the fishbowl, you know, and free yourselves. Just believe you have the power to do it. AP, my time is up. I have to give up the room.
All right, Alex. So let's close this show now. I will call you in a few hours. Thank you so much for bearing with us with all these technical issues. We know it's often an uphill struggle. So once again, Alex Collier, thank you so much for this this webinar, and we'll be connecting very soon and completing the rest of these questions. So everybody, hang on, and we'll get them to you.
Okay,
Alex.
Thank you,
final words.
I love you, folks. Keep the faith. Remember, you are everything you've ever wanted to be. Just be it. It's time to just be it. You, me, all of us. It's time to just be who we want to be. Okay? Love you. Peace out.
Okay, so let's start with this. This is from Nicholas Fowler. In 95, you said it was less than 18% oxygen content in atmosphere. Do you have any updates?
I do not have an update on that. But, you know, the more carbon dioxide there is in the atmosphere, the more trees can breathe and produce oxygen. I think the problem is that, you know, we keep chopping down the freaking trees and, you know, we're poisoning the ocean, which is a huge contributor to oxygen, the plankton, and, you know, seaweed, all of that. All of the plant life in the ocean produces oxygen. So, but I do not know the exact number.
Do aliens have anything to do with phobias, anxieties, bipolar, insomnia, etc., suicide and self-harm? Do they put implants to manipulate people, and can they put a djinn or a shadow being inside somebody? Why would they do stuff like that, and how can we take it off and protect ourselves?
Okay, well, you know, that's a really good question. I'm not responsible for any kind of phobias or aka mental illnesses. I'm not, absolutely not read up on that. As far as attachments and things, they're not aliens. Those are detached spirits or dimensional beings. And yes, they do attach and they can attach. That's what possession would be, like a demonic possession. What density being that is attached to someone here in third density and feeding off of them, living off of them. That is exactly what that is. But that's dimensional. It's not necessarily extraterrestrial.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I'll ask Marlon's question. How can we possibly overcome all the greed for money and power that dominates our world? Big question.
We have to change our perspective on what it is. We have to change our perspective on not only what it is, but what it can do. We also have to change our perspective on what we are and who we want to be. That's how you do it. If you don't feed it, it starves. If you change it and do something else, you'll become something else. So we just have to make a decision. You know, that's what we have to do. We have to make a decision. If you look at, you know, the power of greed, which I guess is an illness, and it isn't the money is just a tool, okay? It's the idea of possessing it to use power over others. So again, we come back to the issue of power. Abusing power and not clearly understanding what power was meant to be. Okay, it was meant to self-empower oneself in order to not become a slave, not enslave others with it. It was never meant for that. But those lessons come up, you know, and then there's those who won't accept their power, they won't stand in their power, and they allow themselves to become victims and slaves. You know, so it goes both ways.
Thank you. So, this is from Catherine. Is the gift of the isness, is this the original intent they often refer to in defending sacred ground, especially when they talk about how fear depletes you of the focus on original intent? And indeed, that's one of the things you were talking about in the main topics for this, isn't it?
JP, you totally broke up. I only got bits and pieces of that.
I'll say that again, then.
Okay.
She's quoting from Moroney. Oh, I see. We're quoting from Moroney and the Saracen, something is the gift of the isness. And they're saying, is this the original intent they often refer to in defending sacred ground, especially when they talk about how fear depletes you of the focus on original intent?
Yes, exactly right. That is exactly right. Fear essentially saps your energy, your creative energy, because what it does is it shifts the focus of energy on creating. to worrying about something that isn't real or may not ever happen. So your focus goes to worrying about something that doesn't exist, as opposed to creating what it is that you want. For example, and I believe they go on to talk about how we create weapons to make ourselves safe, or weapons of death to make ourselves safe. Okay? Look at the energy, the money, the focus that went into creating these weapons of death, like nuclear weapons, etc. God forbid we ever use them. You know, God forbid we ever use them again. So are they keeping us safe? No. They're keeping us trapped in a paradigm that says we'll never be safe. So therefore, we have to create weapons of death. So now the weapons of death create fear, because now we're afraid we will have to use them on someone else, or they will use them on us. And there's no creative energy in that. That's all negative field. You know? That's all negative field. There is no positive field in any of that.
So,
you know how many schools we could have built? You know how many hospitals could have been built with one nuclear weapon? What it costs us to build one nuke?
With one jet?
I mean, it's just nuts. And we have what? And we have what, 50,000 on the planet or more? Enough to blow up the solar system? And that's going to keep us safe? Okay. So we can destroy the solar system. Tell me how we're safe.
It's like they say in Hitchhiker's Guide, you know, it depends what you mean by safe, what your definition of safe is. Okay. On to this is a rather long question, but it's quite an interesting question, and everybody is going to be interested in this, because it's all about sex. So
I don't remember what that is.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's mostly a question of nostalgia, really, these days. Okay, here we go. Andromedan sexuality. The Andromedans express in one of three genders, you say, male, female, and genderless. Do Andromedans pair bond for life, or do their personal relationship change as they age? Do they change their own mates, or is it pre-arranged? Are there homosexual relationships amongst the A's? Do male and female A's ever enter into personal relationships with the genderless A's? Do Andromedans make love for pleasure, or is it solely a reproductive act? The intent of this line of question is not to titillate, but rather to contrast the Andromeda's gender roles and sexuality against those currently practiced on Earth in order to provide a broader context. Thank you, Alexander.
Okay. I can't possibly answer all of those questions, because I simply don't have the answer. I am not aware of the fact that they have one partner for their entire life. I do know that, and this is interesting, and this is sort of similar to the Mormons here, but Mornay had a brother who died through some tragic accident. He then became responsible for his brother's wife and children, and he is a husband to the wife and a father to the children, as well as to his own wife and his own children. So, that's pretty much what I know. Now, as far as the, they're not necessarily genderless. Oh my God, brain fart. What are they called? Androgynous. But as far as the androgynous beings, I know very, very little about them. And very little information was ever offered regarding their station in society. I just know that they're real and they exist, and they're unique. That's what I know.
Homosexuality?
I know absolutely nothing about that. I don't know.
And do Andromedans make love for pleasure?
probably. But I don't know that either. I had a moment with a woman, and in the fact that I just thought she was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, I ran the scenario through my mind, and she picked up upon it immediately. And I was reprimanded for having those thoughts about her. So, I guess you can take that any way you want.
Wow. So, so that's something you can't do off this planet. Or in a way, this is going to stop happening on Earth. Men undressing, what we say in undressing someone with their eyes. And it happens all the time. And you look at somebody and, you know, you have all sorts of, you're doing all sorts of things with them, saying, you know, would you like a cup of tea? Anyway, so, and of course they can...
Right, well, she was clearly telepathic, and she clearly knew it was me, and she, yes, I was reprimanded for that, that act. So I mind my P's and Q's from that moment on.
Uh-huh. I see.
Yes, I'm embarrassed to tell the story, but, you know.
No, but the thing is, Alex, that you're acting just perfectly human. You're doing what every other guy on the planet would do. You know, just like... And that's, I know it feels like it's kind of hapless, and, you know, I often feel like a Homer Simpson character in my own cartoon, so... I think it's on some level there is. That's
okay, well, just for the record, that won't fly off world. Okay, it doesn't appear that it's going to fly off world. So, at least with him.
Okay, so it's best to keep these thoughts, you know, to the minimum, really, because that's you have a better relationship with him as well.
I learned that whenever I'm in their space. I always focus on everyone's highest intent, and that keeps me focused in a very positive space as well. And I don't find my mind or my imagination drifting, you know, as long as I focus on everyone's highest intent.
Oh, that's a lovely thing. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know where I got cut off, but you know, the governments—they really got a nerve. You know, here they turn on HAARP, they spray all this shit in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, and then they say, well, you know, the apocalypse is coming, the end is coming, we have to do all this stuff, you can't be in control, you know, all of this stuff, and this is all shit they're stirring up, you know, this is all stuff they're stirring up, and it's ridiculous that we take this crap from these guys, these beings, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. let's talk about some very positive things. Alex has discussed using the Andromedan calling symbol before. Is there any other preparation, either physical, mental, or spiritual, worth doing towards having an experience on an Andromedan ship?
Well, my honest answer is this. Well, and I would always give you that anyway. I don't know why I said that. But my answer is this. It isn't the A's specifically, I don't think. I think if you're having an experience with a density being, you have transcended not only third density and fourth, but you have moved into a dimension that is predominantly positive field, real high spiritual energy. And I would think that that would absolutely be positive no matter what, no matter who you are with. Okay, because that energy is not only expanding, but it completely nurtures and fills your soul with love. That's what I think. I don't think it's just the ace. I think it could be anybody.
I think that's a very good answer. You connect with your own self thing. Okay.
Yes. I mean, it just, you know, I mean, that's what we're looking for. You know, there are people down here at one time or another in their life, they feel incredibly lonely. And I mean, you know, you're on the planet with 7 billion people on it, and we're lonely. But it isn't. It has nothing to do with humanity. It's a longing for some other place, some other family. And I know a lot of people won't say it that way or they don't phrase it that way, but really that's what it comes down to. There's a longing for something that they can't put their finger on. And then there are some people who can do that, put their finger on it, they know exactly what it is. And that's what it is. You know, they're on some level, they're remembering, you know, what it was like before they fell into third density or fell into time. They remember that freedom, that expansion, that love, that constant knowing and feeling empowered. They remember that, you know, because Earth is a tough, tough school. It can be a really tough school here, you know. That's what a lot of people are experiencing, you know, on some level. They remember. And especially now that the shield's down, I wouldn't be surprised if more and more people start, you know, tapping into that.
So, basically,
that's right.
When somebody dies, they're not going to go through the whole reincarnation cycle again?
No. I mean, if they're born here, they're obviously, you know, in third density. But if they choose not to go to the light when they pass and they turn around, they can direct their soul to go anywhere they want. They don't have to come back to Earth. You do not, no one has to get caught in the reincarnational cycle. No one does. Okay, that is a metaphysical blind.
Uh-huh, yes. Well, this is
what I'm... blind.
Thank you. This is from Becca. Alex, when a soul is allocated to a body, is our time on Earth in that body determined at that point, or is that unknown?
If I heard the question right, yes. But the soul is not allocated. The soul chooses. Okay? They just don't strap you in a barrel and say, here you go. You know, that's not how it happens. You choose. So, you choose. That doesn't mean it always turns out the way you want, you know, because there's infinite possibilities. But, you know, it's not like going over Niagara Falls in a barrel. You're not quite sure where you're going to land. It isn't like that at all. Okay?
Sometimes it feels... anyway, it felt like it.
Yeah, I do. It sure do. I know.
How is it possible that the Greys do not experience childhood? Were you talking specifically about the clones?
Yes, I am, because they're AI. They're artificial intelligence. They are grown. They're not birthed. They're grown, and they don't have soul. They belong to a hive mentality, and they have organic microprocessors, which they use for brains, which are connected to some kind of a telepathic system of communication, which they have amongst each other, like ants. Very, very similar. So, yes, they don't have soul.
Okay.
Which is why many, many of them don't. They simply cannot express an emotion whatsoever.
And that's the connection, that soul is connected through your passion.
Soul is connected to a body that has a nervous system.
Ah.
The soul connects to the body through the nervous system.
Interesting. So, in addition to this, a question from Nemanjik. How can I find my soul origin? Now, as you were saying, this may be like, because you were talking before about like the veil of forgetfulness has been being lifted or has been lifted.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
have you got an idea that we can use to trace back and find out where our soul origin is instead of having to go to some psychic, which is a bit hit and miss?
Well, I would think that someone, let's just take this person, if I were speaking one-on-one with this person who asked this question, I would say, you need to surround yourself with charts. star charts or go out into evening sky, and you need to find out where you're drawn to. Where are you drawn to? Are you drawn to the A's or the P's or, you know, whoever because of the name, because you hear it all the time? You know, where is it that you're drawn to? Your soul knows this information. It has this knowledge. It just has to communicate this to you in a way that your ego gets out of the way. And that can be tricky, you know, because we're all learning about that, how to calm the ego or even work around the ego. Because the ego is a defense mechanism. It is the body's defense mechanism here on Earth. So that's a really good question. Other than what I've shared with you, I don't know. I don't know that I ever would have known if the Seiya Sedna told me, frankly. I don't know that I ever would have known.
Well, that's information is power. And, you know, he can tell you one thing that is the key to a million other things. You know, isn't it?
Right. But you know what? That's the journey.
Yeah.
That's the journey right there. And that's all a really good teacher does. Mm. He doesn't give you your answers. What he does is he puts you on the journey. Mm. You know, and hopefully give you some parameters on which to be successful.
Which isn't always what you expect on Earth. Okay.
No.
Will the flu injection, this is from Jeanette, will the flu injection interfere with those that have taken it in 2015?
If you've already been taking flu shots, I would do whatever I could to remove those heavy toxins from your body. It's the first thing I would do. And then I would never, ever, ever get another flu shot. It's a scam. Okay? And I'm just telling you straight out, it's a scam. After a certain age, it does nothing but poison the body. So that's what I would do. And I don't ever get those things. And I haven't forever gotten those things. But I, first thing I would do if I were her is I would go and find a way, some kind of a detox program, that you can remove the heavy metals from your body from the vaccines, like the chemicals, the mercury, all the crap that they put in those flu vaccines. And I would be diligent about doing the best that I could to remove those toxins from my body.
Andrei Martinov, please ask this. Are those people trapped on Mars awakening and starting to understand that the Earth is not destroyed? So there's a kind of assumption there about there's a story going on. So can you address the story and what might be happening? To awaken
people? I don't know. I don't know what the people on Mars have been told. I would guess that they're getting information now. I would strongly guess and suggest that they're getting very similar information that we are now too. Getting about who's behind all this garbage, all this crap, and what's really going on. So, but I have not really focused on Mars in many, 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 many years. So I've been really focusing on us here. So I can ask, I will ask the next time I have contact.
Thank you.
I will ask about Mars.
Thank you, because there is a concern that, you know, there are people who are employed, so to speak, but they were basically abducted and then schlepped off to Mars to become mind-controlled servants of billionaire playboys who have got their own gated communities on the North Pole of Mars protected against the reptiles and the mantoids. But anyway, that's just a story. So, don't know right. How much of that
I get
is real.
That. Yeah. I get that.
Okay, and I think we'll wrap up with this final question, which is a lovely question. This is a question from Nancy. Could you tell us what planet do horses come from? Nobody's ever spoken about horses. Where are the horse people, and are there horse-faced people?
God, I don't know. I do not know. But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to find out. I'll move that question to the top of the list. But I don't know.
Okay. And how about...
That's a great one. I mean, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is.
All right, here's another one.
There it is.
Chocolate. Is this the only planet with chocolate? Please say no. Please say no.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if the coca plant is indigenous to other planets or other worlds or not. That I don't know. I only know that chocolate was invented by Spanish monks. And that's what I know. And they used to give it to royalty because of its medicinal properties. And the really good stuff, the homemade stuff, has incredible medicinal properties to it. But that's all I know about chocolate. I'm not a big chocolate guy myself, because as kids, my mom would let us eat sweets. So I just never really acquired a big taste for it.
You're lucky.
But I'll ask. I'll ask. That's another one for the list.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. That and cannabis. You know, because the whole hemp debate is hotting up. So it'd be very interesting to know, like, the history of hemp and cannabis and their attitude towards it. Maybe you've already asked them.
I'll do my best.
Thank you.
Thanks, JP.
I think we should wrap up here. Bless your heart, Alex.
All right.
Catch you soon.
Have a great Merry Christmas.